CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Bob Zimmerman, who keeps the website Behind the Black. Happy anniversary, Behind the Black. Your subscriptions and donations, wonderful, because we are following the very expensive, very high risk, very magnificent James Webb Space Telescope, now at L2, that is its position for eternity, and its mirrors are engaged. We've had information flowing from it that has dazzled all of us. However, you will recall there was an anomaly some months ago called a micrometeoroid. What happened, Bob, and what do we make of it?
In May, shortly after the launch, Webb was hit by a micrometeoroid impact that was larger than expected. Its primary mirror, one of the segments, got hit. Now, before they launched, they had done some analysis to try to predict how many impacts of this kind would occur during the life of the telescope, 20-year life. The telescope, unlike most telescopes, the mirror is not encased in a tube to protect it. Hubble has a tube to protect it. Most ground-based telescopes have tubes to protect them, or they're inside buildings, and they also don't have to worry about meteorites. But Webb, because of its size and design, it didn't make sense to put a tube around it. So instead, the mirror is exposed to space. And they actually analyzed this to see how much risk it was involved and how much damage it would involve over the period of time. Well, that meteorite impact was much larger and sooner than expected. It suggests that their predictions, their analysis was wrong, that there might be a lot more impact sooner. Well, they've now released a detailed report outlining the commissioning process of the telescope, and then in great detail how all the instruments are working great, and how everything is working great, and how everything is hunky-dory, and how they made it work great. And that report is really good to read, but in it, it contains a picture showing where the micrometeorite impact occurred. I've got this on Behind the Black. You can see it. This is actually their best. This is a graphic showing the recent best mirror alignment. There's 18 segments, and the image shows you how they're all very closely aligned to correct wavefront error. And there was very little difference from segment to segment, except in one particular spot, and that's where the impact occurred. They have determined that at this moment in time, this impact is not a serious problem for overall results. However, it is more serious than they first gave us a sense of. The real issue is the frequency of such impacts. Is this an outlier? Is this impact just an unlucky strike at the beginning? Or is it indicating that such impacts will occur more often? If they do occur more often, this telescope will not have a 20-year lifespan. It will become useless, much, or at least be degraded much sooner than expected. Let's keep our fingers crossed. They are also looking at ways to try, if the impacts are going to be more frequent, ways in which they can reduce impacts, such as not point the telescope in the direction of travel as often, because that's where you get more impacts. Point it away from the direction of travel to protect it. That will limit observations, however. So we're going to have to wait and see how this plays out, John, but it's an unfortunate thing, and it appears to be more serious.
Relativity. What is that, Bob?
Relativity is a new rocket startup company. They hope to make their first launch of their Terran 1 rocket later this year. That's a small sat rocket. They eventually want, and they've specialized in using 3D printing to make their rocket engines and their rockets. That's what their goal is. So they can build the rockets cheaply and quickly and efficiently. However, they want to follow up with their Terran R rocket, which would be a much more powerful rocket, more comparable to SpaceX's Falcon 9, and also completely, they claim, reusable. Well, they've now signed a deal with another company called Impulse Space, which is a company that's focusing on providing in-space tug capabilities, not just in orbit around the Earth, but interplanetary tug capabilities. You want to send a probe to Mars, they'll provide the engines to do it. And the guy who founded this company, Tom Muller, was actually the guy who worked at SpaceX to develop the Merlin, Draco, Super Draco, Raptor engines. He's the guy who developed those. So he formed his own company to provide engine servicing to interplanetary missions. Well, they've signed a deal with the Relativity to launch. Relativity is going to launch Impulse Space's first interplanetary probe. I think this is to get Impulse on the map. They're going to send a Mars cruise vehicle and a Mars lander to Mars to be the first private commercial mission ever to another planet. And it could be launched as early as 24. There are a lot of uncertainties with this. For one, the Terranor rocket is not yet even launched yet. Its first launch is scheduled for 24. Whether it would take Impulse, its spacecraft, to Mars on that first launch is not known. Either way, what we see here is private companies putting together interplanetary flights for their own publicity, their own research, and for their own profit. And I think that is truly spectacular, John, and that's where we're going in the future.
We're also going to the moon. A lot of people are headed to the moon. There's a delay, however, for Luna 25 from Roscosmos. Do we know why, Bob?
The next three stories are about lunar, lander, or rover delays, John, and they're not all Russia. The first one, Luna 25, this is a lunar lander that the Russians have been trying to put together and land for almost a quarter century, and they keep getting delays, And so a few months ago, Dmitry Rogozin insisted it was going to launch after a short delay in September. Well, here we are, shortly after Rogozin is gone, and Roscosmos now announces that it's considering delaying Luna 25 again until next year because testing of its soft landing equipment failed to meet the requirements. It was not as precise or as powerful as expected, and they need to rethink that. So that's possibly delayed for another year, after maybe a quarter century of delays. Another mission, Viper, this is a lunar rover that NASA's building that's going to be launched on a private commercial lander called Griffin, being built by Astrobotic. It was supposed to launch initially in 21 and in 22, and then they were going to do it in 23 of November. Now they've delayed it to November of 24. NASA made this decision to give Astrobotic an extra year of time, as well as an extra $67 million to make sure that its landing system was going to work exactly right. There's a lot of issues here that might be contributing to this, but it's another delay. And finally, John, we have another delay, more than a delay, a loss of a mission. Mastin was another one of those small commercial companies that NASA had given a contract to put a lander on the moon. They have closed shop for reasons that are not clear. The company has completely shut down and furloughed its staff. They had gotten a $75 million contract from NASA to put a rover on the moon. That project is dead, or it's going to have to be sold off to somebody else. And that's unfortunate. They were one of four companies that were given this project, John, and they failed.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. Your subscriptions are most generous. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.